Good morning, church. It's good to have you all with us today. And as shared, we've got our annual meeting today. And so that's what, when we canceled last week and moved it this week, people say, you know what you just did is moved a storm to this weekend. Maybe not. I don't know. But I'm all for having it in June. Then if it snows then, at least it means something special, right? But anyway, so we're glad that you're here, and we'll be doing some of that stuff later. And so, but anyway, we are continuing our series of preaching through the Bible. And believe it or not, this is week 64 that we've done this now. So that means we've got two more after this. And we're just about to finish up this series. And so we've just been looking at each book, taking a section of that book and teaching on that. 1 Timothy, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Anytime I preach out of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, I always remind and share that we are reading instructions or guidelines, authorities that are given to the young preachers, evangelists. But in all, it's really just good, common sense Christian stuff that needs to be followed for much of this. And so as we look at this, you may be sitting here this morning and say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I don't, you know, teach classes or anything like that. But these things are still all for all Christians, and but especially those that are trying to we'll say in a greater effort do those things for the Lord in the presentation of His Word. And sometimes that's to a friendly crowd. Very rarely do I ever have any of you stand up and boo. It has happened occasionally, but for the most part, you don't get Rotten Tomatoes thrown at you and things of that nature, or you know, even threatened to be tied to a pine rail and shipped out of town. And so, for the most part, it's good. But can you do the same thing when the crowd's not so friendly? Can you do the same thing? Do we ever do this thing? Because sometimes it seems like we shut down, and I may find myself saying, well, now's not the time or the place. Isn't it? Really? Isn't it the time? Isn't it the place? Isn't that, I mean, if you're here and I'm here or whoever there, isn't there an opportunity for the gospel to be shared? And so as we look at that, do we stand firm when we're among our friends? Like I said, it's always easy to preach to you guys because we're going to get the amens and the praise the Lords and things of that nature. But do we do the same thing when we're out in the world, when we're in the assembly line, when we're in the cubicle, when we're in the line going through the restaurant, whatever it may be, do we continue to do these things? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, it says, "Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance, with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Taking pains with these things, be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." Now, as I usually do, I sit down, I'll read the text over and over again, a couple, two, three, four, five, six times, whatever it takes, and I'll start jotting down points. And if I see things that all start with the same letter, those are usually things that jump out to me. Well, anyway, so the other night, on Wednesday night, I had it brought up, and Dylan comes into my office and looks at my lesson, and got 3 points put out there, and they all start with the letter P, by the way. And Dylan says, "But you could also do this one." And I said, "You just added 7.5 minutes to the sermon." right? Because another point. But anyway, so if it goes longer, then it's all his fault, right? But anyway, so we do have 4 points this morning. They all begin with the letter P for you to be able to remember those things. But those are just things that we brought out in scriptures, and we see those, and hopefully as we look at those, that we will draw ourselves closer to the attention of God's word. First thing we want to look at in this passage is that we are told to prescribe these things, to prescribe these things. Paul specifically tells Timothy, prescribe and teach these things, is what he says. Now, we all know what it means to have something prescribed to us, correct? Whether we like it or not, all right? Having a prescription for magazines, right? Or maybe it's movie rentals, prescription for medication. It all means that there is a list, and that list needs to be followed. Paul here is writing to Timothy, a young preacher, let's just say a young Christian. And whether it is for a new Christian, an old Christian, someone who has been a Christian for a while, we would all be wise to heed the words of Paul and to make a list of things that we need to do and things that need to be followed. I know it's easier for me throughout the course of a week or maybe a day as I'm in the office. If I got to know of several things got to do, make that list out. And it seems then you can feel the progress of the day or lack of progress of the day, depending how fast you're able to cross some of those things off the list. But we need to make a list. Maybe we need to make a list. Maybe we take a look around, take a look within, and we make a list of people that we'd like to see one to Jesus Christ. Would that be a good list? Maybe we make a list of things that we could do better. Maybe we like to make the list of things that other people can do better, right? And that they can fix in their life. And we can sit down, I'll have a talk with you, and I can tell you all the things you can do to be a better Christian. Well, why not I start with myself and be the better Christian and set that example? But we can give these lists, and those are good things. They can be good things, but don't get wrapped up in that list that isn't found in Scripture. When it says to prescribe and to teach these things, and that's what we look at with all of these things that are given that the Apostle Paul is sharing with Timothy, is he is saying that to take these things from the Bible, take these things from the Word of God, make a list of these things. And the Bible does that itself many times in Scriptures already. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, it'll say, do these 9 things, right? It's the fruit of the Spirit. And against such there is no law. And then it'll give the list of the bad things. Stay away from these things. The Bible gives us lists. And so Paul's telling Timothy, make lists. Prescribe these things. Write them down. Tell people, this is what you need to do. This is what you ought to be doing. This is what you need to be sharing. He says to prescribe these things and to teach these things. Make a list. Focus on those things that we focus on those things. And that is what we see from 2 Timothy chapter 2, or excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. When Timothy is doing this, Paul gives him a list. You as a young preacher, here's a list of things that you need to do. And I'll sit down and in my lessons and my messages that I prepare, here's what I use as a little bit of a outline. Are we doing these things? When we do this, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. In other words, as we discussed this in our high school Bible class the other day, what does that mean? That means any time is go time. Be ready in season and out of season. We think of, well, it's baseball season or it's not baseball season, right? So we say, well, it's not baseball season, well, I don't have to worry about that. What it's saying here is, it's now the season to preach. Whether in season or out of season, whether you think it's the time to do it or not to do it, it's time to do it. It's time to do it. And then it says, here's some of the things that you need to do. You need to reprove. That means take something, prove something, reprove it. Again, make sure, back it up with Scripture and prove to them over and over again that this is correct. How many times do you need to hear something from the Word of God before you find out that it's true? just once. But he says, you need more than that? We'll give you that. We'll reprove it for you. We'll reprove it. Rebuke, that means there's a correction coming. Oh, boy, don't do that, right? Can't do that in school today. Tell a kid that they've done something wrong, especially if you do that in front of other kids. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. You know what? Old Testament, New Testament speakers alike both said that rebuke is necessary. If not, there are those that come to the point where they have no red-faced or shame-facedness. Don't tell somebody they did something wrong. I heard a preacher years ago say the worst thing that the church ever did was to tell people they were sinners. That's terrible. Because that's why Jesus came to this earth, is to die for the sinner. Rebuke, to exhort. You ought to come to church once in a while to get encouraged, right? If all you're doing is getting your brow beat all the time, then that is a problem too. But it can't be a constant party either. There's got to be a balance, and that's why you need to make a list and run that checklist. Make sure that both things are happening. And it can be done by different people. That's why, like the songs we sang this morning, I was super encouraged by those, exhorted, lifted up, not only because it made me feel good, but I hope that as I heard everybody singing and the joy that was in my heart and in your hearts, that it uplifted the Lord, that there's exhortation that needs to take place. And then here's the hardest one of them all, I think. Do it not with just patience, but with great patience. Great patience. Is it ironic that we use the words patience and prescription in the same thought? Huh? And you got to change your English word, but it's patience, right? I know an old song that we used to sing in a school program years ago, and my wife shares it with grandson Jude all the time, is have patience. Have patience. Don't be in such a hurry, right? Because, you know, when he wants his chocolate milk, he wants it now, right? When he wants a snack, he wants it now. But it says to do these things with great patience and instruction. And so that means don't just shout it out, but show them. This is what Scripture is. Prescribe these things. Prescribe these things. Along with that, this is not an arrogance or an over self-esteem on one's part, but an authority that has been given from God in His Word. Just as we read in Acts 20:28, remember, where do the elders get their authority from? From the Holy Spirit. Is that what Acts, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, right? That's by their authority from God's Word that we prescribe and teach these things. Titus 2:15, as we said, is another letter that is written to a preacher. It says, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority, and let no one disregard you. That does come to a certain point of don't be ashamed. You say what's right and you move on. Anything that falls into the realm of this book, the Bible, is covered by this prescription, the prescribing and teaching of these things. Then it goes on to talk about with great pains with these things, or pains with these things. You know, and sometimes it seems that sometimes preachers or speakers go out of their way to put the listeners through great pain to listen to the message, and that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what it's about. That you're supposed to go to great pains to present the gospel. Some translations will even say that you need to meditate upon these things. Give great pain, that it's a struggle, and we do this. And some kid was asking me the other day, they said, Mr. Atchley, did you like Bible class when you were in school? And I said, actually, I did. But I said, you know, the part that I didn't like was the memorization. But I said, as I got older and became a preacher and doing those things, all that memorization, man, was I sure glad that I did that? Absolutely. And so as they asked that, was it with great pain? Yes. And so as you do your memory work on Thursday mornings, kids, right, and you have your memory verses that are due, is that with great pain? Sometimes. But you know what? It'll come back. It will not come back void. It will come back, and you'll learn it, and you'll remember that from time to time. So it says to meditate on that. C.S. Lewis says pain is not good in itself, but what is good is any painful experience, or what is good in any painful experience is for the sufferer his submission to the will of God, and for the spectators the compassion aroused and the acts of mercy to which it leads. In other words, when there is something that takes great effort, there are great pains to do it, or meditation, great thinking that goes into this, it's not only good for you to submit yourself to that will, but as other people watch you, they will learn a lesson as well. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." You just don't put it on the coffee table and then pick it up on Sunday morning as you're headed back out the door. "So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." How about that? I remember a few years ago when we had Shane Capps do our graduation ceremony for our kids, and he spoke on, "Do you want to be prosperous and successful?" And everyone, yes, even everyone in the audience. And then he preached from this text. Because true prosperousness and success is not how the world defines it. It's how God defines it. What we need to do is get back to God's definition of words and phrases and things. Okay, there we go, right? Because too many times we define it as the world wants to, and we forget what God says. Psalms 119:99 says, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." And I got thinking about this the other night. Well, I was talking with Brandon Tucker. I don't know if it was last Wednesday or if it was a week ago Sunday or whenever him and I were talking. And we made the comment, or he made the comment, that why is it that everybody gets all excited when somebody says something? And I got thinking about that throughout this past week. Why is it that we need not to get all excited over something that Chuck Swindoll throws out there, that Andy or Charles Stanley throws out there, that Greg Laurie throws out there? And I'm going to tell you this, and there may be people that get upset. We don't even need to get overly excited about things that Jack Cottrell throw out there. We don't need to get over excited about things that Don Hunt had wrote and posted out there, that Ed Bousman had said, or that even your beloved own David Atchley has said. We need not to get wrapped up in those things. What we need to get wrapped up in, church, is the Word of God. Amen? These are the lessons that we need to learn. The teachers and the preachers, do they say good things? Possibly. Do they have things for us to think about? Yes. But when it comes to things that need to be prescribed and things that we need to take great pains in knowing, that's God's Word. That's God's Word. Sometimes I feel that Christians take and spend more time trying to figure out how to operate their own remote in their house than they do looking into the Word of God for the instructions on how to live their life. Why is that? Because most of us have four or five different remotes that we don't know how to combine into one. Right? Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Jesus died for us for a reason. He went to great pain to give us what we have here today, church. We need to focus less on what others are or are not doing and be more focused on our own zealousness for good deeds for our living Savior. Amen? Being in the church is filled with pain. Right? The worst thing somebody can tell you is, come on, it's the best thing ever. You know what? Being a Christian and being in the church is pain. It can be. It should be. Because we're living it for Him. It didn't come to him easy. It shouldn't come to us easy. But it also leads to the greatest glory that one can have in their life, and that's serving and living for Jesus. Meditate. Go to great pains for him. Also, then we see in this passage of Scripture, Paul tells Timothy to pay close attention. Pay close attention, right? We had a preacher did that at a conference we was at, Aaron Chambers, right? Yeah, he'd do that and get clapping and get George's attention. And then when he got messed up, George clapped at him and then totally threw everything off. But anyway, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching is what Paul says. As a preacher, as a leader, as a Christian, we must always watch ourselves, for you can be sure that others are definitely watching us as well. I have learned to pay close attention to the details. The Word of God is simple. Yes, that is true. But the recipe for living a godly Christian life lies within the details. When people teach, pay close attention to the verb and adjective changes that the speaker makes sometimes that may take place when they're speaking. Because they can change a verb or change an adjective and it totally changed the Word of God. It is with this that the wrangling of words can take place. And we know that we're told to stay away from that. Hebrews 13:9, the first portion of that verse says, "Do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings." Just because something is different doesn't mean it's wrong. But just because something is different doesn't mean it's right either. That's why we have to look into the Word of God. We have to look into what the Bible says. We are told in Scripture, and the Scripture tells us to test the spirits to see whether or not these things are from God. Read the Bible. Make sure that it compares to what the Bible is saying. Make sure that that message and that lesson that is being shared aligns itself with the Word of God. Just we will always do well to follow the straight-up Word of God. 2 John 1:8 says, "Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what you have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward." Be careful, because at times, when people get to the pulpit, it can be about personal agenda, it can be about propaganda, and it can be about proper or improper motives. You should always watch out for those things. Pay close attention. Changing words to fit your personal profile can cost you, and it could cost others their soul. By all means, please, church, pay close attention. And then lastly, to persevere in these things. As a Christian, as a leader in the church, as an elder, as a deacon, as an evangelist, there'll be times that you want to quit and give up. How do I know that? Because I've wanted to quit about 1,000 times myself. Why is that? Because there's pain involved. And sometimes we just want to stay away from the pain. But then we have to consider the pain that Jesus Christ went through, and we need to persevere. What you need to do, as it goes along with Derek's lesson on Wednesday night, is find those that are along the same ride with you. Stay close to them. Recognize those that love the Lord and His Word and align yourself with them. Find those that draw you closer to Christ instead of pushing Him away. Well, I'm trying to win them. If they are pushing you away from Christ, you're not winning them, they're winning you. Titus 1:9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with teaching." Notice how many of these things have to do with teaching. It doesn't say through osmosis. It doesn't say take your Bible and put it under your pillow and boy, you're going to get all this knowledge. It says it has to be taught, and if it has to be taught, then it has to be listened to and learned. Right, kids? Because if not, geometry and chemistry would be a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? Oh, boy, put that book under your pillow, right, Isaac? Oh, that'd be so much easier. But that's not how it happens. We got to study. We got to have those that are willing to teach. Got to have those that are willing to learn. It says there, in accordance with these, so that you will be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. You will never know if somebody, if they're teaching you something wrong, if you don't know what the truth is. You must know the truth. Perseverance means taking a stand, standing firm in the Word of God. It might mean being patient. It might also mean moving quickly. It may mean digging in, and it might mean digging deeper. A few little phrases I found here talking about perseverance. It says, there aren't any hard and fast rules for getting ahead in the world, just hard ones. You don't have to lie awake at night to be successful. Just stay awake during the day. There is no poverty that can overtake diligence, Japanese proverb. By perseverance, even the snail reached the ark. Just keep on keeping on. And triumph is just oomph added to try. James 1:12 says this, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Think what Paul is trying to tell Timothy, what he's trying to tell all the young preachers or old preachers or elders or deacons or Christians or moms or dads that are trying to raise their kids in the Lord the best they can. What he's trying to tell them, church, ultimately, in a nutshell here, is don't give up. Don't give up. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it is. Are you going to want to cry? Yes, you are. Are you going to want to quit? Yes, you'll want to, but don't. Prescribe these things. It'll come with great pains. We'll do well to pay attention. And please, persevere till the end. Because it says, happy is the man. Blessed is he who does that. Blessed by who? The world around us? No. By that great and wonderful scene that George shared with us at the communion time. Can you just imagine what that'd be like to be there and share around that? Praise God for Jesus and what he's done for us. Don't give up, church. If you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ and you want to become a part of the church, you want to do what Jesus Christ has asked you to do, here's what you need to do. If you'll notice all these things that we'll share with you on the board as far as the plan of salvation goes, those are all words that Jesus said. Well, I only listen to what Jesus says. I believe Jesus died for the whole Bible. But if you're a red letter person and that everything that's on here, Jesus said. John 8:24, therefore I said to you that that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Not just believe that Jesus Christ is a son of God, but that Jesus Christ is the only begotten son of God. There's some that will try to tell you different about that, that you need to repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Jesus says, repent or perish. Says you need to confess me, Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before man, I will confess him before my Father who is in heaven one day. Be immersed. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then in Revelation 2:10, Jesus says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus is telling us the exact same thing that Paul was telling Timothy there. Church, don't give up. Will you stand and sing with us our closing song?
Let's sing, Give Me the Bible.